Welcome to SILRAP Podcasts. You are about to listen to a service of the Center for International Law Research and Policy.
Yeah, thank you so much, Morten and Karsten. Thank you for inviting me to speak here. I was lucky enough to be part of the first project on fact-finding outside of the scope of criminal justice. So now I'm very happy to be here again, part of the same project or continuation of the project. The title of my presentation today is The ICC Involvement in Colombia, Walking the Fine Line Between Peace and Justice. I chose this title to reflect transitional justice processes ongoing in Colombia right now, because I believe it's one of the defining features of the situation in Colombia right now. Since 1960s, Colombia suffered civil conflict between many parties, including the army, paramilitaries, and several guerrilla groups. And in 1998, even when the president of Colombia was adopting and signing the Rome Statute, he had in mind the idea of a peace process supported by the International Criminal Court. And because of the ongoing conflict, because of the crimes being committed also in 2000s, the ICC opened preliminary examinations in Colombia in 2004. So preliminary examinations hence have been ongoing in the country since 2004, for over 12 years now. I do not have time for a procedural overview of involvement, but the most important development at the moment is the peace deal, a historical achievement, a peace deal signed by the government and the biggest guerrilla group in the country, the FARC, in November 2016. It was the second peace deal. The first one was put to a referendum, which was not successful. The voters rejected the original version of the peace deal, to a surprise of many. In my presentation, I will talk about the way the ICC and particularly the Office of the Prosecutor engaged with Colombian actors, and I will also talk about the specific issues that arose out of this engagement. And I will conclude with some conclusions and observations. Is it loud enough? Shall I speak louder? Can you hear me? I call the model of interaction between the ICC and Colombian actors a dialogical model. So this refers largely to what Morten referred to as a process, preliminary examinations as a process rather than an outcome. This process was very much evident in Colombia and still evident in Colombia. By dialogical model, I mean that both the transmitter and the receiver of information engage in certain interactions and change their behavior accordingly. So the ICC transmits certain values to the domestic terrain, but also the ICC adjusts its behavior based on the way domestic actors respond. So there is not just one directional communication from the Office of the Prosecutor to Colombia, but also the other way around. What are the modes of engagement of the ICC in Colombia? There are several. These include country visits by the ICC. From what I understood, doing field work in Bogota, the ICC representatives visit the country regularly. They meet with the representatives of civil society, the Constitutional Court, Office of the Prosecutor, and the government. So this is one way of involvement. The other way is, of course, interim reports, country reports that are issued by the ICC every year. So far, we have FAR on Colombia. And from what I understood, these reports are used very much by the local actors, especially by the Office of the Prosecutor in Colombia. They look at these reports and they see the issues identified by the Office of the Prosecutor. But of course, these reports are based on communication from Colombia. So here we have this dialogical model of engagement. There are public statements by ICC officials, specifically by the chief prosecutor and deputy prosecutor. These public statements come in different forms. They can be on the website of the ICC, such as those supporting the peace deal and stressing the importance of effective punishment and the importance of not including amnesties for grave international crimes in the peace deal. That would be one way to make a public statement, but also more creative ways, such as talking to a Colombian press and making statements in press, which also enters the discourse in Colombia, or making presentations at events like this, academic events. There was a very famous and well-cited lecture by a deputy prosecutor of the ICC, James Stewart, where he clarified a lot of issues on Colombia during one of his public lectures in Bogota. There are also visits by Colombian officials to The Hague. The former Attorney General Montealegre was very much engaged in communication with the ICC, so he visited The Hague and also engaged in discussions with the OTP here. And finally, there are private correspondence. And we know this partially because some of this private correspondence leaked to public, which caused certain backlash in Colombia. In 2013, chief prosecutor sent two private letters to the Constitutional Court of Colombia, criticizing two particular elements in Colombia: the practice of prioritization of cases domestically and suspended sentences. Fatou Bensouda mentioned that prioritization of cases domestically amounts to unjustified adoption of international criminal law guidelines, of the guidelines that are for the International Criminal Court and perhaps not for the local judiciary. This kind of correspondence caused some backlash in Colombia, and the Constitutional Court of Colombia upheld the practice of prioritization. In 2015, the ICC corrected its position on prioritization, which lets us consider now that the ICC would accept the practice of prioritization at this point in time, although we have to see how the situation evolves with implementing the peace deal. So these are the modes of engagement. And where do they lead? What is the effect of this engagement? The main effect is that the ICC and the Office of the Prosecutor are shaping the discourse in Colombia, in particular when it comes to particular legal standards, which I will mention in a couple of minutes. The ICC also backs the deal, the peace deal and some other transitional justice measures as an external observer. This gives the deal certain amount of legitimacy. The backing by an international actor such as the ICC brings certain legitimacy to the table. But of course, there is a limitation. The power of the ICC is primarily symbolic. In Colombia, it is well understood by local actors that even if the ICC moves to the stage of investigations, the power will be to prosecute only the selected few, the capacity, not the power, rather the capacity would be to prosecute only the selected few, and the temporal jurisdiction of the ICC is limited. It starts only in 2002, and crimes have been committed to Colombia starting in 1960s. Themes that where the ICC played a role and still keeps playing a role in Colombia. These four fields show us how international values and domestic law values may not be necessarily compatible, or rather standards. So the vision of justice. The vision of justice per peace deal is the vision less retributive and more reparatory. So the main aspect of the peace deal is truth and reparations, whereas the vision of justice promoted by the ICC is still more retributive in nature. But so far, I have not observed any criticism by the ICC of this particular aspect of the peace deal. Then prioritization of cases that I mentioned before. The ICC had its position adjusted on the question of prioritization of cases. Yet, as the peace deal is implemented right now, we're going to see how the cases are prioritized. This cannot be an abstract discussion. It has to be a practical one. From my discussions with the Office of the Prosecutor in Colombia, I understand that cases are prioritized based on the criteria set by the OTP in their preliminary examination reports. So these are very similar elements that now domestic prosecutors are taken into account. Penalties. There are very lenient penalties reserved for those who speak the truth, 5 to 8 years of the effective restriction of liberty for the guerrilla fighters, and this would probably be jail for the army and state agents. Yet these are very lenient sentences, and this was my initial interest in the topic. I was wondering whether the Office of the Prosecution would consider these penalties ineffective and potentially showing unwillingness to prosecute on behalf of the country. However, I understood that this is not the most pertinent issue right now in Colombia. So, and also from the public lecture in 2015, it seems that the prosecution is open to different types of sentences, to consider different types of sentences, so long that they're not commuted and suspended. Now, finally, perhaps the most problematic element right now is the issue of command responsibility for senior leadership, especially for army generals. The definition of command responsibility currently contained in the peace deal and also in implementing legislation is very narrow. And it is based on the effective control over the conduct of subordinates and actual knowledge of the crimes being committed. This is a very narrow standard, which deviates significantly from the standard adopted at the ICC. And the concern is that certain senior leadership figures will escape responsibility on the basis of this definition. So this could potentially trigger investigations by the ICC, as stated by Fatou Bensouda in one of her interviews to the Colombian news outlets. So these are four particular areas. And now I will conclude by just assessing the role of the ICC. I feel that the ICC plays an important role in Colombia when it comes to the specific standards and when it comes to setting discourse and stirring the discourse in a certain direction. I feel that the ICC contributed to certain justice elements of the peace deal, and it contributed to the fact that there are no blanket amnesties for grave international crimes in the peace deal. But of course, the ICC has very limited influence on internal politics in Colombia. And as I mentioned, the peace deal was first voted down in the referendum. So there is lack of legitimacy and lack of popular support of the peace deal at the moment. And a lot of people who are charged with implementing the deal are actually not convinced by the contents of the deal. And Colombia is also facing elections next year. So there might be a change of government. So these are the bigger issues, the legitimacy issues, where the ICC doesn't have much influence. And I believe that this would be the main issues that Colombia faces in the next year or so, the implementing the peace deal despite opposition. Thank you.
Thank you for listening. For more open access audio recordings, films, and publications, go to silrap.org.